it's a joint process, a process that is empowering the portfolio committee to be able to conduct its oversight in all the different ways that we do that, as questions to minister, call the department, visit institutions. That is that process. So as you will be presenting, questions that you are going to be asked, no matter how trivial you feel, I know people that are dealing with money, I repeat, impatient. Be patient with us. Be very patient with us, because you are also in that process going to learn. So it's a two-way process. And we hope that you will understand it that way. For those that are coming for the first time in the portfolio committee, their house rules, I would appreciate if there are people that are seated behind this pillar. I was telling the secretary that I don't like this thing, but it has got this pillar, so I must always. So if there are, I see there's somebody, please be seated in such a way so that they must not be. It will only depend if you have quite a crowd, if people can be this way so that I'm able to see them. We house rules, our phones are to go on silent. Please, presentations will only be made by a relevant institution. Questions will be only be asked by members. Responses will then be coming from the presenter. Unfortunately, we don't have an interpreter system, so we'll start in the Queen's language, which is English, unfortunately, for now. And we don't take photos except those that are designated, and we'll hear as we'll then be introducing ourselves. If you'll only ask questions when we break for lunch, we rub shoulders with the MPs if there are things that you want to get more clarity on. But if in the course of asking questions for those that the institution that will be presenting, which is the State SA, during our break, you can. But if there are clarities, feel free if a question that we have been asking from you, SA, is not clear enough, feel free, because we must live here, you must live here, understanding what we are. We are holding our portfolio committee, challenging times in the country in terms of economy, in terms of unemployment. There's nothing else that is being talked about. If you are listening to news, reading print media, it's all about the issue of the unemployment. And I always believe that as much as some of the challenges that we're having in the world, the global challenge, our people are not interested in what is happening somewhere. They're interested in how are they going to feed their children. And so as much as we will then be talking about the global scenario, but what is it that we are? We are then talking with our people. I think that is then going to be very important. You are coming at the opportune time, I will say, because tomorrow it's a debate, which is quite interesting matter of national interest. So that's why I want to emphasize that bear with us on the questions that we may ask. It's not that we don't understand, it's because we want to be more clear on the issues that we're having. Having said that, I am we'll introduce one another. What we will do, I just want to, so that when we move the flow, we don't go back to introduction. We'll quickly, everybody who's here will introduce herself or himself. I am Lindelwa Dunjwa. I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health. On my... Oh! Can I be protected from you?
From yourself.
Once a health worker, always a health worker. And to my apologies, I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labor. On my left is Bomseni, who's our content advisor. On my right is Zolani, who's our committee secretary. At the back, behind the against the wall, is Portia, who's our committee assistant. And then there is Bongile, who is our media person, and Tebuko, who's the youngest. Well, Tebuko, who's our researcher. Members will introduce themselves. Everybody will introduce herself, himself, using the mic. Your name, which institution you are coming from. So that's what we'll do. I'll hand over to you, honorable members. Then after that, it will be everybody, so that when we then continue with the next presenter, there's no need for us to go through to. Over to you, honorable members.
Good morning, Chair, and everybody in the meeting. I'm a Bulelo Hernandez, member of this committee.
Morning, honorables, the guest, honorable Bongile Zuma. Thank you.
Morning, chairperson, the honorable members and guests. My name is Nobuhle Nkabane.
Morning, honorable chair, honorable members, and guests. My name is
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Aloise Jordan.
Morning, Chair, honorable members, and the guest. I am Tolani Ngwezi, member of this portfolio committee.
Members, good morning, all, and our guests as well. My name is Nneba Inana, the member of the Standing Committee on Labour.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Carter.
Morning. My name is Michael Bagram. So you just have to say Mike and one of us will call him.
Sorry, the TV program will be two mics.
I'll head over to you. How you do it? We're not going to be prescriptive as long as we know who is here and from where.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm Olive Wandamase from Statistics South Africa.
Good morning. My name is Malarato Siani from Soto Sayovo.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Wendy Kruger from Statistics South Africa.
Morning, Honourable Chair and members. My name is Chen Tsang. I'm from the Financial and Fiscal Commission, a research specialist in the Office of the Chairperson, Professor Daniel Blakey.
Good morning, Honourable members and colleagues. My name is Tan Dongozo. I'm also with the Financial and Fiscal Commission as a researcher.
Morning, Chairperson, members and colleagues. Henry Eckstein, Parliamentary Liaison in the Office of the Chair, Finance and Fiscal Commission. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Bulelani Philip from SABC.
Good morning, honorable Chair and honorable members. My name is Malikole Ntleti. I'm the head of the Director General's Office, Department of Employment and Labor.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Matapelo Matabuge. I'm the PLO in the Office of the Director General, Employment and Labor.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Fezega Baliso from the Auditor General of South Africa, responsible for stakeholder management.
Good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. My name is Tulani Sithebe from the Auditor General of South Africa.
Good morning, chairperson and honorable members. I'm Mudie Skosana from AGSA.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Khabuko Mafi. I'm the business executive in the Auditor General of South Africa, responsible for labor portfolio.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Karabo Makhakhane, PLO, Deputy Minister's Office.
Good morning, chair, honorable members. My name is Tando. My surname is Wababa. I am the parliamentary officer in the office of the Minister of Employment and Labour. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Teboho Marupin, the UIF Commissioner. I am here today standing for the Director General who is in transit from Japan. Thank you.
Protocols observed, Abongwe Kobogana from the SABC.
Where are you? Okay. So those are the two people that will be, there are three in fact that will be, if they stand up and take photos, we must not scream because those are the people that are designated only to take photos in the, when the committee is in session. And when I saw it in the morning live today of what is going to happen, and when it was said the portfolio committee SSA is going to brief Department of Labor, I said, oh my God, cameras are going to be here. I thought there was going to be that army, but that is fine. There's a lady behind you, honorable Mike. Can I get? Can she? And the gentleman at the extreme. Hello, yes.
Hi, I thought I survived that one. my name is Baba Londense from the Parliamentary Press Gallery. I represent EWN.
And my name is Olechuma Jola from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
No, thank you very much. We are then going to hand over. Move the understanding that all of us do have documents for the presentation. We will then hand over to SSA. It's your turn.
I'm going to take you through the presentation on behalf of the SSA. Every quarter, the SSA conducts a labor force survey, which is a household based survey that collects information from people who are aged 15 years and above to gather information in terms of their employment or labor market status, whether they're employed, unemployed, or out of the labor force. As you may all be aware, the unemployment rate as of the second quarter of 2019 is sitting at 29%, and it increased by 1.4 percentage points compared to the previous quarter. And if you look at the trend, the unemployment rate has been in the 20 and 30% over time since 2008, when the quarter labor force survey came into being. If you look at the picture over the 10-year period, we have seen unemployment rate increasing by 5.8 percentage points over the 10-year period. But over the 5-year period, it increased by 3.5 percentage points. And over a year period, it increased by 1.8 percentage points. As of the second quarter of 2019, we had about 38.4 million people of working age, that is those who were aged between 15 and 64. And of those, we had 23 million who were in the labor force, whether they were employed or they were unemployed. And 15.5 million were not in the labor force. And of those who were in the labor force, 16.3 million were in employment, 6.7 million were unemployed, translating to the unemployment rate of 29%. And of those who were not in the labor market, we have seen 2.7 million of them being discouraged work seekers, which means they have stopped looking for work because maybe there are no jobs in the areas where they live, or they have given up hope of finding any kind of work, or the jobs that are available don't match the skills that they have. If you look at the quarterly changes, we have seen employment increasing by 21,000 quarter on quarter. That is between the first quarter of 2019 and the second quarter. Unemployment, the number of people unemployed, increased by 455,000 quarter on quarter. And the discouraged work seekers, the number declined by 248,000. And those who were not active in the labor market due to other reasons other than discouragement, the number also declined by 77,000 quarter on quarter. In terms of employment, over the 10-year period, we have seen employment increasing from 14.4 million to 16.3 million. That is an increase of 1.9 million over the 10-year period. And over the 5-year period, employment increased by 1.2 million. And over 1 year, it only increased by 25,000. If you look at the labor force participation rate and absorption rate, you'd want to see these two figures close to each other, but if you look at the picture on the screen, the gap between the two is actually widening. We have seen the labor force participation rate increasing from 57.9% to 59.8% in the second quarter of 2019, and the absorption rate, which is employment population ratio, declining from 44.8% to 42.4%. And the gap between the two is 17.4 percentage points. Now moving on to the unemployment rate and absorption rate and participation rate, we have seen labor market rate varying significantly depending on education level. If you look at the unemployment rate for those who are graduates, it's at 9.1%, which is the lowest compared to other education levels, and the unemployment rate is highest among those who do not have matric. And those who have matric have an unemployment rate of 29.4%. And the higher the unemployment rate, the lower the absorption rate and the participation rate. And if you look at those who are graduates, the unemployment rate is 9.1% and the absorption rate is the highest at 80.6%, and the participation rate is also highest at 88.7%. The unemployment rate for those who are aged 25 to 34 years is sitting at 35.6%, which is more than double the unemployment rate for the older people aged 45 to 54 years. And the unemployment rate declines as people get older, with the highest unemployment rate observed among those 15 to 24 years. The unemployment rate among youth is highest irrespective of their education level. As much as it's highest among youth, those with who are graduates within youth 15 to 24, the unemployment rate is the lowest within that age group at 33.7%, compared to the other age groups, 25 to 34 and 35 to 64 years. We also have people who are not in employment, education or training, who are people who are not connected to the labor market. They are disengaged from both work and education. If we look at those 15 to 24, and this is for the purposes of international comparisons, because according to the international guidelines, youth is considered as those aged 15 to 24. So we have about 10.3 million people who are aged 15 to 24, and of those, 3.3 million are not in employment, education, or training, and this translates to 32.3%. And if you look at the overall need rate, it increased by 0.7 of percentage point compared to the second quarter of 2018. And if you look at the gender differences, the need rate is highest among females compared to males, where females increased by 0.3 of a percentage point, decreased by 0.3 of a percentage point, and for males it increased by 1.6 percentage points year on year. Looking at the provincial differences, we have seen three provinces having the need rate lower than the national average, that is Gauteng, Western Cape, and Limpopo. And the highest need rate among the 15 to 24 year olds was observed in the Northern Cape at 37%. And compared to a year ago, this declined by 1.1 percentage points. And the other provinces that have observed declines is Northwest to 3.4 percentage points and Mpumalanga at 0.3 of a percentage point. The rest of the provinces have experienced increases in the need rate among the 15 to 24 year olds. But in South Africa, we consider youth to be of age 15 to 34, so we have also computed the need rate for this age group. And we have about 20.4 million people aged 15 to 34 in the country, and of those, 8.2 million are not in employment, educational training, and the need rate for this age group is 40.3%, and compared to a year ago, it increased by 1 percentage point. And as with 15 to 34, females are still having a higher need rate compared to their male counterparts, where we have seen the need rate of females increasing by 0.3 of a percentage point year on year, and that of males increasing by 1.8 percentage points. We are seeing a similar provincial pattern where Limpopo, Gauteng, and Western Cape are still having need rates lower than the national average. But now Northwest is the one that is having the highest need rate among the 15 to 34, whereas for those 15 to 24, it was Northern Cape that had the highest need rate. And only KwaZulu-Natal experienced a decline in the need rate year on year among those 15 to 34 years. The rest of the provinces experienced increases. If you look at employment in comparison with the GDP shares, we have seen trade, construction, and agriculture having higher employment shares relative to their contribution to the GDP. The rest of the industries have lower employment shares compared to their contribution to the GDP. In terms of employment by occupation, the bulk of the people who are in employment are in elementary and domestic work occupation, accounting for 28.9% of total employment. Only about 9.4% are in managerial positions. The formal sector share of total employment is about 68.5%. And we have seen formal sector employment increasing from 10.1 million in the second quarter of 2009 to 11.2 million in the second quarter of 2019. In terms of the informal sector employment, there was an increase from 2.2 million in the second quarter of 2009 to 3 million in the second quarter of 2019. As I said earlier, we have about 6.7 million people who are unemployed, and of those, 71.5% have been unemployed for a period of a year or longer. That is, they are in long-term unemployment. And only 28.5% have been unemployed for a period of less than a year. Now, comparing the official and expanded unemployment rate, we have seen the unemployment rate, according to the official definition, sitting at 29%. And the unemployment rate, according to the expanded definition, is at 38.5% as of the second quarter of 2019. And if we add other people who are unemployed according to, if we look at the 6.7 million people that are unemployed according to the official definition, we have those who are discouraged, which is 2.7 million, which is added to the 10.2 million of those people who are unemployed according to the expanded definition, plus the 0.8 million who are not in employment because of other reasons, but they were available to take up employment if they are given a job or opportunities are there for them to start a business. So the difference is 6.7 million according to official definition and 10.2 million according to the expanded definition of unemployment. And irrespective of which definition we are using, women are more vulnerable to in the labor market compared to their male counterparts. If you look at the official definition, women had an unemployment rate of 31.3% compared to 27.1% of their male counterparts, according to the official definition. And according to the expanded definition, the unemployment rate for females is sitting at 42.5% compared to 35% of men. In terms of the population group differences, we have seen black women be more vulnerable compared to other people in other population groups where their unemployment rate is over 30% according to the official definition. Looking at the gender and population group differences, irrespective of sex, black women and colored, black Africans and colored population groups remain the ones having the highest unemployment rates in the South African labor market. The highest official unemployment rate was experienced in the Eastern Cape, and the highest expanded unemployment rate was recorded in the Northwest. If you look at the mustard color, that is our expanded unemployment rate. If you look at Limpopo, it had an official unemployment rate of 20.3%. But if you look at the expanded definition, there is about 20.8 percentage points difference, which means people are not looking for work, but they are available to take up employment should conditions be favorable or jobs be available. But they did not look, maybe because they did not have money to go out and look for work, or there are no jobs in the places where they live. And only KZN, Western Cape and Limpopo have official and expanded unemployment rates lower than the national average. In terms of those who are not in the labor force, that is 15.5 million people, we have seen that 40.6% of them are students. 16.3% are homemakers who prefer not to work, and some 10.1% cannot work because of illness or their disability prevents them from working, and 9.7% indicated they were too old or too young to work, and 17.8% were discouraged work seekers. And that is the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. There is the presentation. Any questions? Honorable Ngwezi, honorable Inanna, honorable Kadu, honorable Mike, honorable Nonsen. Will you teach me how to pronounce your name?
Do you want a handbag? Bag, right.
Oh, okay. In that order, Honorable Member.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I just have two questions, or rather one question, but maybe there might be two in one. The first one is that the information that is provided to us has been collected from the people aged between 15 years to 64 years. And my understanding is that someone who is 15 years before 18 years is underage, or else that person to me, or that is child labor, if I may put it that way. And I would like to know if in relation to this, there are institutions that actually employs people who are 15 years to 17 years. And if they are, which institutions are those? Because I think they need to be dealt with within the parameters of the law. And also, this question, Honorable Chair, will further then goes to the last slide before, thank you. I didn't say the page number. But where you indicate that out of the 15.5 million people, there's 40.6% of the students and so on and so forth. To say that a person who is too young to work, in relation to my question, how old is that person? Someone who is too young to work, because I see if I would get the answer according to my understanding, so the 15 years to 17 years are too young to work, and if there are institutions then employing these people, which are those institutions, so that maybe we may start looking closer at them. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Abolina. Thank you very much, and thanks as well with the presentation made. Chairperson, when we talk of unemployment rate as reflected on the slide, are we also looking at the foreigners who are in our country not employed? How do you distinguish the unemployed South Africans from the foreign nationals? Because they might confuse the understanding of actually how many people that are employed in South Africa. I'm not going to talk about the 15 years because my colleague has already started. On page, I don't see the page, but there is a slight capacity where the female need and the male need is being displayed between 15 and 24 years. But what is what is reflected is the people with the disability. Because what is happening in our society, they tend to be a society that is always forgotten or neglected or not counted. And they are massive in terms of numbers. I would therefore want to get an understanding, if you do have, that how many of those are coming from the disabled society. Would it be better or proper for us to understand that the problem is that we don't have the page to refer you. When the recordings of the people who are unemployed are made, there are provinces that are being listed. What I picked up, almost all those provinces that are rural have got the negative effects, whether it's unemployment is so high, the crime is so high, anything with the rural areas. What might be the contributing factor that the rural areas are having these negative images and reflections, especially with the unemployed people? The last one, Chairperson, would be the vulnerability of women. Can you attribute that to culture, tradition, or patriarchal system? Because as much as they are in majority in terms of, we do have the numbers of that we, females are massive in terms of numbers. But when in terms of being exploited, when being neglected, their numbers are so high.
what might be the contributing factor for that, and how can that be corrected? And thanks.
Thank you. Yes, I will.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I've got a number of questions. The first one being, in the past, Stats SA has released data showing that black South Africans between the ages of 25 and 34 are less skilled than their parents. And the former Statistician General, Pali Lehosha, used to say that the crux of youth unemployment in South Africa is the fact that black youths have lost out in acquiring skills in comparison to their white, Indian, and coloured compatriots. So my question is, what is the cause of that regression in skills acquisition among young black South Africans, and what can we do to address that regression, particularly with regards to the Fourth Industrial Revolution? And allied to that question, is Stats SA doing any research into what likely impacts of the Fourth Industrial Revolution will be on employment rates in South Africa? Secondly, I just wanted to address the document released by Treasury very recently, which has some specific ideas on job creation in South Africa. And in particular, it suggests that government should consider full or partial exemptions for small businesses from certain labor regulations, including the extension of bargaining council agreements. Has Stats SA conducted any research which would back up that proposal? Is it something that you would think worthy of support as a policy intervention? Thirdly, we know that only 43% of South Africans work, whereas that figure is about 60% in most or many other countries across the globe. What are the greatest opportunities for job creation in South Africa? That Treasury document suggests that we should be supporting job creation in labour-intensive sectors like agriculture and tourism. Where are the opportunities for job creation in South Africa, bearing in mind that we have a major skills deficit? And then finally, is Stats SA conducting any research into the effect of the introduction of the national minimum wage on employment? If so, is there a correlation between the introduction of the national minimum wage and increasing retrenchments? I'd like to know if you have any information in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is a very interesting report, and thank you very much for this. It doesn't come as a shock to us because, obviously, this has been creeping up us for 10 years. What I would like to know is that my colleague hit on that slightly. The comparison between ourselves and other countries around the globe, effectively, when you've seen figures like this, this is probably the worst in the world at the moment, but when you get to figures like this, it's been dubbed to be an Arab Spring, where there's been insurrection in the countries, and maybe you've done some research into that, and anyone's even reached these figures, what actually mean, what does it mean? Despite our job summit, the various investments, the various government interventions, it's getting worse and worse. And can you find some sort of correlation as to why that's happening? What's going on? What are we doing wrong? And it might be interesting if your research can point us in some way or another. Just moving on then to the age. You said the unemployment rate for the ages 25 to 34 is more than double of that 45 to 54. Is that because possibly the economy is shrinking and people are not being taken up into the economy? And these slides aren't numbered, so I apologize for that. I'm looking at the unemployment rate for those aged 25 to 34, which is 35.6%. Is it also possible that those individuals in the age group 45 to 54 had already found employment before the more onerous labor legislation had been brought into being. It's almost impossible now to get people into the workplace because of the onerous legislation. I then want to have a look at the profile of those not in employment. And I know you've done some research into education, and those with education get more employment. I have a strong feeling that a lot of the education is useless and doesn't train you for the workplace. It's all very well to send out hundreds of thousands of arts graduates when you're actually needing something else for the workplace. And maybe it's worthwhile doing some research, if you haven't done research into that, into what sort of education needs to take place. My colleague also hit on the fact about agriculture, which Minister Mogweni had put in his research paper. And it looks like trade, construction, and agriculture have the higher employment shares. You referred to that in one of your slides. Are you coming up with some figures to tell us which industries we need to concentrate on and possibly educate people towards those particular industries? It would be useful to know. I see also in one of the slides you've said close to a third of all people employed in quarter two in 2019, which is the latest figures we have, were employed in elementary and domestic work occupations. In other words, the lowest rung of employment. And is that where you see the expansion of employment over the next few years? And in fact, it looks like the rest of jobs seem to have been frozen to a large degree. I'm going on to the unemployment section. I won't be too long, Madam Chair, and thank you for allowing me this. The proportion of long-term unemployment has increased. I think this is a trend. And I think statistics are telling us, and maybe you can help us on this, that the longer you are unemployed, the greater your chance of never finding employment. Excuse my flu. The reality is, from what I understand, looking at statistics in Europe, is that people have been out of employment for 5 years, just never ever find a job. And this is what it looks like happening over here. In other words, we're in for another torrid time. The future doesn't look great at all. It looks worse than what we're actually seeing right now. It also looks like, when you look at the expanded definition, again, I don't know the number of the slide, but its extended definition includes the following. Have we taken into account, and there might be a positive to this, the informal job market, which I think is actually very active in South Africa. People are finding jobs that aren't registered. People aren't, when we look at these figures and I want to sit down and cry, I think a lot of people, and I don't know how we can research this, but they're obviously not in the tax net, they're not in the labor net, but they are still working and earning a living, providing for their families. And I don't know if we can somehow look into that particular issue. Obviously, what seems to be getting worse as well in another slide is, and it's a crying shame, but the people who are the most disadvantaged, women, black, uneducated, are growing larger and larger. In other words, that sector is getting bigger. So black women who are uneducated is a bigger growing force, and there's something we're failing our people in South Africa. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe statistics could give us some insight into that, and let us have one comment.
That was the last question.
Just one other thing, and one remark that was made, and I think it was a good remark because I'm involved in this, but many people tell me they just don't have money to go to an interview. Don't have money to get to a job, don't have a clean shirt. I think that's holding back a lot of people, and I don't know how you do research into that, but there must be a way in which government can intervene to ensure that we can at least get people into an employable situation just for presentation. So thank you, Madam Chair, and I've taken more than more time.
Customers comes once a year.
On a lighter note.
Sorry, I apologize.
Honourable Nonsense.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, it's just to ask the staff to just to assist to elaborate more on the following area. There is the reported decline on discouraged work seekers, the number where you indicate that it has gone down to even to 248,000 at a particular point. So what could have been the reasons contributing to that? The second point is with regard to the unemployment amongst the youth. Wherein you indicate that it's irrespective of education qualifications. Yeah. So what could be the impediment in the area? Is it relating to the nature of the qualification, or is it essentially the absence of jobs? Yeah. The third question would be on the issue of the elementary and domestic workers, the upswing on those areas. What could you ascribe as the reason? In mind, one has the issue of the introduction of the national minimum wage. Could have been a factor, or there are other reasons that you can ascribe to that? Yeah. The last point, which is not part of your report, is the prevalence of the non-South African workers. To what extent can you contribute the numbers either way from the various sectors that you have accounted for? Which ones would you say have a high prevalence of non-South African workers being particularly employed? That's not a xenophobic question, it's just to inform ourselves so that we can be able to debate objectively. Thanks, Honourable.
No, thank you very much. We have been joined by somebody. I was just asking, who is behind this pill? I would appreciate if you can come this side. And I will appreciate if you can introduce yourself.
Morning, Chairperson, honourable members. My name is Daniel Plakis. I'm the Chairperson of the Finance and Fiscal Commission.
No, thank you very much. Sorry,
Jane. Will there be a second round of questions, or will you indulge me one last question, please?
You may.
Thank you, Jay. According to the second quarter survey, professional occupations and domestic occupations recorded the largest employment losses of 44,000 and 19,000 respectively. Could you please, if you're able to, shed some light on the reasons for those employment losses? Thank you, Jay.
No, thank you very much. I've got two comments. On behalf of the committee, I would appreciate next time when you come with your presentation, can your pages be numbered? Because it really frustrates that when you ask a question, you want to point straight to the page. Two, maybe it's the nature of stats. At times I become a bit frustrated because death is about figures only. There is no an explanatory, and if somebody explain as presenting, it really gives a challenge. I would appreciate I know it may not be within your, that's not how you do it, but quite frustrating. My second question is, my first question directly on this page of the elementary. In that 22.8, have you ever, people which are more on domestic and other sectors, have you ever asked the level of education of those people. I'm raising that because I once, I'll make an example, I was in one retail shop and I asked this young lady, what do you want here when you are so young? Why don't you go back to school? And you are very young. I said, no, I'm not young, I'm 25. I'm a graduate. She was a tip picker. I hope you understand. She was a tip picker. Have you, in the research, within, again, the context of what the question was asked, which is a very profound question, in this, all these numbers, how many of these people are foreign national? We'll ask that, and I don't want, I'm not going to say what Honorable Mseme said, and that I hope we're not, that's not a xenophobic question. I think that, I mean, we then have to ask, because there's too much cry and too much narrative which is up there, and there's public representatives. When we stand there and talk with our people, institutions like yours are institutions that are to assist ourselves so that we don't come stuck, so that we're able to speak with our people too. So in that elementary, I heard you saying domestic workers, but there is elementary, please unpack for me, because there is domestic worker somewhere which is 6.1%. When you spoke initially, which again going back to the issue of yes, do you think it's wise, because according to us in South Africa, a 15-year-old is child labor. Is it not fair for us or for the country to really understand, because this gives an impression that in South Africa people that are working are starting at the age of 15. The last one is, in all this research that you have done, speaking with people, you said you have been speaking with them, I would have appreciated if I hope it falls within your scope, and I'm subject to correction, but we've got child-headed homes. And in terms of dropouts that have fallen within the cracks, in speaking with the worse with those that are, I would imagine, who didn't pass matric, have you been able to, again, now is about time that when we speak, we're not going to be general, and we'll then be assisted by institutions of your. Honorable Begram has raised a very important point, which one would have thought maybe in your notes would have the issue of black women more versus a male. What could have been the contributory factors around that, so that we are really able to have a, we may have an understanding, but things are changing, and the number of factors that are affecting our country. Have you interviewed people that are, I don't know whether maybe it's similar to the question that I'm the informal, and if you have, which one? Is it taxi industry? Is it hawkers? Is it what? The shipping? Because you have said to us you have been conducting interviews, talking with people. My understanding is that you talk with everybody, irrespective. I don't know how you sample them, but those are the few questions that I would, and the comments that I would. How then you respond, it will depend on you, whether you will respond yourself, how you delegate, but we'll appreciate if you can responses that are going to empower us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a lot of questions. I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability.
No, can I be fair with you? Because this is very important. If members will be fine with that you are three. If you want to divide, if you think that you will, I'll give you just a comfort page, 3 minutes, so that you rearrange, so that when you give us responses, you don't want responses that are superficial. So that's why I'm giving you that latitude, that you are three, you know your expertise, so that we don't apportion the blame on you alone. You are here with the three. So just 3 minutes, Honourable Members, is that fair? Okay.